Every Tuesday at 2:30, we get a chance to talk with the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Troy Lovello. He joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line for his weekly visit with us as the Diamondbacks coming off a big win last night. Torrey, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. Always a good time to chat it up with you.
Well, let's talk about your decision yesterday. You know, Godley gets, and I think you learned your lesson from a previous outing of Godley's, but yesterday he gets into trouble. He gives up the four runs in four innings, and more of a quick hook on Zach Godley yesterday to give your bullpen a chance to kind of hold them down and give you a chance to get back into the game. Give me the mindset now on why you made the decision at that time.
Well, I think what we've been seeing over the past several outings is when Zach starts to get banged around at a certain pitch count, at a certain time, you know, it might be time to turn it over to the bullpen. So I got to pay attention to those habits and tendencies. We were trying to get him stretched into that fifth inning and through that fifth inning because we were made perhaps a little bit short with our usage of certain guys in the bullpen, and we were mapping out our strategy. I was mapping out my strategy to get through the game and the best way we could. But then it quickly turned. It turned over, and we went a totally different direction with some of the guys that we were going to use. But, you know, in Zach's particular case, he's grinding. We know that. Yesterday was a tough outing for him. I could see early on that he did not have his best stuff, and certain pitchers will have to go through that. All pitchers will have to go through that during the course of a season, and it was time to turn over the bullpen. I didn't want to linger and be 7-1, and we couldn't, and a lead that we couldn't come back from.
This is a tough question. It's early in the season. It is five starts, but 21 hits, 13 runs, 12 walks in 21 innings. Is he? Mm-hmm. Are you keeping a close eye on him? Is his spot in the rotation in jeopardy right now?
Well, you know, I will say this. It's a very competitive environment that we're in. It's just the nature of the beast where you got to go out there and perform to continue getting that opportunity. And, you know, we've outlined certain things with Zach that need to improve. And I think he heard things well. And we have conversations like this with everybody. It's not uncommon, good or bad. We're going to outline certain things in certain ways. And we certainly want Zach to be a better version of himself. He's going to get the ball in four more days. It's not like we're going to pull the plug on this. I know that might be your question. We believe in Zach. He won 15 games for us last year, but inside of those games that he won and inside of those games that he pitched well in, he was doing things at a different pace, in a different way. We want to get to that. We want to coach him. We want to continue to believe in him, which we will do, and we won't stop until that time comes that we see those improvements.
But your expectations of him have been communicated to him in terms of his role and what he needs to do in order to keep his spot. That has been openly communicated with him.
Yes. I don't like to waste time in parts of my communication with these guys. And like I said, in good or bad moments, I outline my expectations every single day. And they know where I stand with them individually and collectively as a group. And I know I speak to you guys more on behalf of the group and the general feeling of the group. And individually, yes, we will outline certain thoughts. My demands never change. And like I said, this is a very competitive environment. We're seeing the same things that everybody else is. And when people are not doing the job at the level we feel like they can, or holding them accountable to going out there and doing the best that they can by being the best version of themselves, we want to let them know that here's ways to improve and here's areas where things can get a little bit better. We have certainly talked to Zach about that.
Troy Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks, our guest. D-backs and the Pirates game two of the four-game set during what's been a very productive road trip so far, and the winner of the opener last night, 12-4. Is there an explanation for why you guys have been so successful inning 7-9 offensively?
Oh man, I wish I could put my finger on it and give you a crystal clear answer. I do know that we have a very capable group of guys that are not afraid to put the bat down, and I know I've said it to you guys last week, and just hand it off to the next guy and say, it's your turn, go ahead and pick up the slack. Nobody can hit a 7-run home run. You know, we scored a touchdown and got an extra point yesterday, and that doesn't happen a lot of times in baseball unless you're willing to say and sacrifice, like, I got this moment, but if I don't, you got it, to the person on deck. And it just seemed like one guy after another, I think six or seven guys got on base in a consecutive way, and that speaks volumes about our commitment to one another. And we talked about that from day one of spring training when this group got together, about continuing to be a family, believe in your brother that's sitting next to you, and you can't do it without that guy. And I think it's showing up every single day, especially late innings. And we like the idea of us closing the gap and closing closing up that gap, especially late in the game against some quality bullpens. We're very proud of that.
Yeah, listen, it makes all the sense in the world that you've got a great game plan against a starting pitcher, but it's really the bullpens that you're beating the hell out of. I mean, it really is. So what is the difference between preparing for a starting pitcher that you're expecting to go 5, 6, 7 innings compared to a bunch of bullpen guys when you don't know who's going to be coming in?
Well, it's a good point. I think Darnell Coles, Eric Hinsky, and Drew Hedman have done a terrific job in relaying information to these guys, and then the guys deserve all the credit from there, from applying it. First of all, trusting the information and then applying it and having it go out and work. So I think we're building a very, very offensive culture and offensive-minded team, and I'm proud of that. I know last year we had some bumps in the road that weren't working so good, but the way we look at it and what we've talked about is an all-out assault on the pitcher, the starting pitcher on that night. We are going to exhaust everything we possibly can on their starters. We want to get them out of the game as soon as possible. And you know, the idea is to beat up bullpens. And when you're in a four-game series, you want to see something like that happen, like it did last night. Unfortunately, somebody got hurt. We don't want to see that. But we got into their bullpen pretty good, and we like that. But we don't change our mindset or our concepts or the information that we're sharing just because it's the bullpen. We give them as much as we possibly can or as much as they want to handle. As they walk up to home plate, they're very equipped, and I'm proud of these guys for that.
Hey, last week you guys hit into that 1-2-3 double play. Remember that?
Yes, yeah. I think it was it Ahmed? I can't remember.
It was Nick.
It was Nick Ahmed. Yeah. So I'm just curious, and this is just a strategy thing, and you make the decisions, but you got first and third, nobody out. And a lot of managers will, the other day with Archie on the mound in the 2-1 loss to the Cubs, you've got first and third after the double, the error by Adam Jones, the hit by pitch. A lot of managers would probably walk the bases loaded, set up a force out, or maybe, you know, and I was thinking back to that 1-2-3 double play that Nick hit into. So it's always a possibility. Mm-hmm. What was the strategy in your mind of not walking a batter there to have the bases loaded and give you more options?
Yeah, great point. Great question. Look, I've thought about that 1,000 times, and just depending on the path, it could change the game. Or, you know, who knows what would have happened or the outcome would have happened. But what I did and what I continue to do is identify the targets that I want to face. I felt like Bodie was going to be one of the targets. Certainly somebody that's had very capable at-bats, but most of the time they've been against left-handed pitchers early in this year. I felt like with Archie Stuff climbing to the top of the zone, we could get a potential strikeout. And believe it or not, I was going to walk Zobrist. And the reason why I wanted to go in that direction to load the bases, as you are talking about right now, is that you can't really depend on a 1-2-3 double play. They're wonderful. But I just felt like the zero heartbeat of Zobrist. You know, it could be a spring training game. It could be a game in the middle of April. It could be a World Series game. He is not glossy-eyed. You can't punch him in the face and catch him by surprise with anything. He was going to have that same consistent at-bat and force Archie to get in the zone and throw a pitch where he was going to wait for it. And I thought he would have a really good plan. So my target was going to be the pinch hitter, who was going to be Kyle Schwarber. I was 100% sure of that because it was Schwarber and the backup catcher on the bench, and I felt like we could climb at the top of the zone, and Schwarber would probably get a little bit outside of his game plan, unlike Zobrist, and offer pitches that were right in Archie's strength, and we were going to go for either the punch-out, pop-up, or potentially the double play in that situation. What I explained to Mike Butcher when he made the mound visit is I said, you tell Archie to get this out right here, and we're going to get out of this jam. Unfortunately, we didn't. We got kind of sucker-punched by a pretty good hitter who did a job and drove in the run. But there was definitely a strategy. It just didn't work out the way I wanted to. And a lot of people have asked me that same question. But really, Zobrist, with that heartbeat that was going to equip him to go up there and have a good game plan, was what I was trying to avoid.
Leave me with this. Just the addition of Adam Jones. We were talking about you guys adding him about a month before you did. You know, I see what he's doing, you know, offensively. He's been a catalyst for you guys. I know he made the error the other night, but he's been good defensively. How about in that clubhouse? Is he adding an element of leadership that you desperately needed?
I would say so. And, you know, it's the personality, it's the a sense of humor, and then the seriousness of let's get it on that he brings every single day. He's got a great feel. You know, we talk about feel in this game and feel in life. You know, people got to have good feel to you know, work through their profession and be successful. He has tremendous feel for the moment, and he seems to never say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He never seems to be out of sorts. The game speaks for itself, and I know that's not what you're talking about. He just walks through with a huge presence and a huge personality and a great feel for how to relate to people, and that's been extremely contagious. He brings a winning attitude. I think he has fun playing the game. When it's go time and he's in the box, it's like, get out of my way. I'm going to try to get somebody. But it's been a pleasant surprise to see what he's like inside of your own dugout. I watched him for a long time in the AL East. I knew he was a very good player. Just didn't know what kind of a leader and teammate he was, and I get a chance to see that every single day.
Best of luck with the rest of the road trip. We will talk to you when you get home. Thanks for joining us today, Torrey. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Skip.